about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talks, picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still even him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connects, never asking for someone's help, but to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote, his will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds, the skill of an artist.
This is 20% skill, 80% gear, be 100% clear, cause Ryder was ill. Who would have thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him.
Even going down 15, I really felt like it was far away still. Jason was looking very much in control, and you know, I just was trying to go about my business. But on 18, for a split second, you know, I let myself think I could have won. Might have showed that when it went in.
15% concentrated. Oh, Adam Scott. He is the golf with Clint Serner is the football. Just one of the most darn likable guys alive. Welcome back to the Fury Electric Studio. Justin Akery, Christina LeCure, and the aforementioned Clint Serner. Oh, by the way, Big Baby's holding it down quietly, confidently, running the best darn midday show in the whole wide world. Clint is here to talk about a charity event, and we will talk more about the Masters. We will celebrate more Mr. Titleist himself, Adam Scott. But the third annual Clint Serner Celebrity Golf Classic at Red Apple Country Club is coming up May 3rd and 4th. And we had a caller call in. We didn't get around to it yet because we ran up against the top of the hour. But how do you get in, I guess, is the main question.
Well, you can call Andrea at my office at 501-955-3205, and she has all the details. The majority of the sponsorships, with the exception of whole sponsors, are gone. Thankfully, they went pretty quick. Some of the guys we got that are going to be there, Ryan Mallett obviously is going to be there. Christina's going to be there. She's going to grace us with her presence.
I'm looking forward to it.
All day, too. I got her all signed her up all day.
All no half day days. Long.
All day in Heber Springs.
Boy, you must be making the big bucks because.
What can I say?
We can only afford her for like 3 hours.
Okay.
And then only barely.
Got to pay for it, man.
I see Luke listed here. Is he going to be there?
Anthony Lucas will be there, the man with the slowest backswing in America. golly, Marcus Monk's coming. Beth Hunt's coming. Beth actually came last year, and she's not much of a golfer, so she did a putting contest last year, and I think this year she's volunteered her services for the cart girls. So I don't think she wants to touch a golf club whatsoever, but I told her, I said, you're going to be there anyway it goes. So her and Allison Courtney are both coming out, and they're going to be involved, and Ron Calcagney, Joe Ferguson.
Kenoy Kennedy down here?
Pat, obviously. Kenoy Kennedy, I talked to him this morning. He had a baby, a premature, I don't know what you call it, premature. He's got a baby that's in the NICU, is that right? Mm-hmm. The NICU?
Yeah.
So we're not 100% sure if he's going to be able to make it because he doesn't know when the baby's going to get out. It's been there since January.
Oh, wow.
It was 3 or 4 months premature. So, but it's doing fine, apparently. She's supposed to be getting out here pretty quickly, but he did let me know. He said, I don't think that would fly real good at home.
No, I'm going to say that that's a really, really good excuse.
Well, so, let me tell you something. As a father, that's one of the few things I would actually give up golf for. I mean, that's one of those situations right. Where you don't probably want to be too far other than like arm's length away from that kid. I mean, that's a tough deal.
Well, I mean, and I think, obviously, if she gets home, you know, the next week or so, I think he may be able to make it. But if the timing's not right, then obviously he won't be there. But, Like I said, Marcus Monk, Pat Bradley, Blake Edens, bunch of guys. Where I'm still piling on as we go. You know, a lot of these guys, like myself, have commitment issues, so you got to get them on late. But one neat thing that I'm doing with everybody is that we're gonna at the little VIP cocktail hour auction Friday night. The teams that are signed up, obviously, will have an opportunity. It's a three-man scramble, but they'll have the opportunity to buy a fourth man as one of the celebrities, obviously, as their fourth player.
Or woman? Are you available?
Or woman.
She knows what I mean. She knows I was including her in the bunch.
I'm totally okay with being
she's
one of the guys.
Christina's one of the guys.
But yeah,
I'm one of the guys. It's totally good. I'm good with it.
But, you know, it's one of those things where if the guys want to come out and compete and have a fourth player and try to win the thing, I would advise you to spend a lot of money and get Christina if you just want to have a good time. There's several of those guys on the list that you can have a good time with. So we're going to add that little wrinkle in and adjust accordingly as we go forward, and hopefully everything will work out. So we're excited about it. It's grown every year, and more people helping out. I thank Ace Liquor. And
you didn't mention him. Is he coming for sure?
Ryan? Yeah, I mentioned him.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, okay. He's for sure. He'll be there.
Does he play golf?
He plays golf. I don't know what his handicap is. I do know that he'll have a good time on the course.
I guarantee you that's a safe bet.
And in with the festivities surrounding the tournament, so he's always a good one to have around. I try to get as many quarterbacks as I can. I actually talked to Tyler last weekend, who, quick update on him, I actually threw with him last weekend some, and the kid can absolutely spin it. I mean, he's in great shape. Obviously, his tangibles, he's mentally head over heels better than everybody else out there, I think, available. So, but if they don't have a rookie mini camp, he said that he'll try to make it. But, I mean, odds are I don't know what team doesn't have a rookie mini camp the week after the draft. So, mm-hmm. Odds are he won't be there. But just let everybody know he's doing great and
good,
representing us well.
How do you think – obviously, we're all somewhat biased, but, I mean, certainly there's a fit for him somewhere in the NFL.
Man, I mean, I think there's a great fit in several places. I talked to him, and you know, he mentioned a couple of teams that were interested in, but I was high on which he didn't mention at all, by the way, was New Orleans. I mean, I know Sean Payton. I know that offense. I know what you have to do well in order to be successful in that offense, and I think he's really would really, really be a good fit for them. And, you know, what he does well is what Sean Payton tries to do. He stretches the field vertically, and you know, quarterback's got to be able to throw the ball from many different arm slots, and got to be able to move around a little bit. And obviously, they don't need a 6'5" guy to do that. So, I think he fits that system well. But at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of them out there that I think are going to end up wanting him.
Just got a text here from Ethan, who is normally not very mean spirited. He's a deacon in his church, at least he used to be. He said Ryan's handicap is throwing late picks in big games. Let's see, this is mean. You got to quit that. You got to get over that. Anyway, he's a better golfer than you are, I'm sure, and
no
me
comment.
Too. Moving on. You know, haters hate. That's what they do. It's funny. Anyway, so what about spring? Have you caught any of it? I know you're busy running Sterner and Havis Insurance, or at least that's what is alleged. Anyway,
yeah. No. It's that's getting more and more busy and more difficult and more hands on. But I've got some great people there, so they are obviously doing a great job. What was the question?
Have you been up to watch any spring football?
I have not. I have not been up to watch any spring football. I have not met Coach yet. I try to – I wanted to separate myself from that group that as soon as he got hired and as soon as they started practice, ran up there and wanted a handout or wanted something. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's better to wait for the handouts for 6-8 months later.
Well, you know, it's when you're not part of the initial rush, it seems to work out a little bit better. But, you know, from what I hear, I mean, it's always that way that the defense picks up, you know, their game plan or their playbook a lot quicker than the offense does. That happens. That's what I'm hearing is going on now. The defense is ahead of the offense, which that happens in every transition, you know, known to man across the board. So, not surprising there. You know, I'm a little anxious to see what's going to happen with the quarterback situation.
We all are.
You know, I'm a little anxious.
You've seen both these guys play, and you've seen his offense work. So, I mean, I think you can make a pretty good argument that either guy could be, you know, relatively successful within the offense. A lot of it's going to have to do with, I would think, the offensive line and how much of a threat the running game is. But, you know, watching these two guys, how do you assess the quarterback play?
Well, I mean, I think if we base it off of what we've already seen, you know, I think it's one of those deals where you have to – You have to put Brandon Mitchell back in the mix, obviously, which they've done. And I think you have to look at it from a perspective of all of a sudden the scales are tipped towards Brandon Mitchell a little bit, I think. Whereas before, if Petrino was still here or a system like Petrino's was still in place, you take a guy that had thrown 8 million balls in high school, probably the best high school quarterback. Not probably. He is the best high school quarterback that I've ever seen as far as playing the position of quarterback. There's better athletes out there. I get that. There's guys that will wow you more. I get that as well. But when it comes to just playing the position of quarterback, Brandon Allen's the best I've seen in high school. But I say that, you know, all those things would have been positives as far as throwing 8 million balls in high school, and all the experience would have been positive if you're in an offense that demands you to throw it 70 times a game. All of a sudden now you're in a more ball control offense, probably a smaller playbook that allows your physical ability to take over. And I think that puts Brandon Mitchell right back in the talk. And me – personally, my opinion is the only shining light I saw last year, other than Tyler Wilson, in my opinion, was Brandon Mitchell. There was a couple of games where he got the crowd back into the game emotionally. He shows his emotion on the field. He's obviously a leader. I think those things are all important in this when you're putting a new offense in and you're not real sure who your leaders are. You've lost a lot of guys. So you know, I got to give him the edge at this point as far as just from the outside looking in of who I think would be the guy.
Clint Sterner joining us in the Fury Electric studio. Christina LeCure here also. We're talking a little spring football. It looks like, from everything we've read, that Allen has taken a lead in the quarterback race at this point. And again, maybe we'll know more after the red-white game coming up next Saturday. It's a game you can hear here on The Buzz. But certainly it would look like he has taken the lead. If that's the case, come fall, if you're the coach, and again, we're all on the outside looking in, do you try to utilize Mitchell, whether it's at receiver, in a Wildcat-type situation, or just even put in some sort of passing package for him?
Yeah, that was my next point, was that if you were going to ask me which one was going to be a starter, I'd feel better saying Brandon Mitchell, and I'd feel better because I know if he's not the starting quarterback, he's probably going to be a starting receiver. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be in a starting role somewhere. I mean, I think it's crucial, again, based off of what I saw last year, that guy's on the field somewhere.
Well, watching him play basketball, I mean, you know, he's just a great athlete. That's a cliche, but I mean, he's such a guy that's so well rounded and can do so many different things.
Well, I mean, it's obvious the team responds to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what's key in this type of situation is find a guy that the team responds to and the team will follow, and he's got to be on the field. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to be your quarterback. It's better if he is, but he's got to be on the field. He's got to be touching the football. He's got to make an impact somehow, some way. And so, I mean, I think, yes, to answer your question, if he's not the starting quarterback, I think he's got it. And then you flip that, the receiving core isn't the strongest and the deepest in the world. So he's probably one of the more athletic and would be in your top four receivers anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see him being on the field a lot.
Okay, so you've been through a spring where you were the designated starter. You've been through a spring where you were probably fighting for playing time. What kinds of things, what's your mentality? Just specifically as a quarterback and maybe as a player in general, you can look at it both ways. But in the spring, you know, again, you're not working towards playing a game. You're certainly working to maybe help yourself. And it's not even like you're in fall camp where you're fighting for a spot. I mean, it's going to be months before you're evaluated again and have a chance to earn a starting spot. I'm just, that spring football is something I never went through. I have no reference point. I would think mentally there are some challenges there for everybody. Certainly you want to get better. You want to impress, especially new coaching staff. But that's got to be kind of a tough thing mentally.
Well, I think that's the dynamic of this that's really interesting is that you want a quarterback that can mentally withstand all of that pressure, whatever it may be, whatever their outlook on the situation is. However they're treated by the coach, whether they're the starter that's the coach is allowing competition in, or they're the backup or the receiver that's coming back to quarterback and he's getting another chance. Regardless, you want a guy that can mentally stay focused and be level headed through all of it. And you know, at the end of the day, I was the guy that was thankful to have the opportunity to compete with the guy that started the year before one spring. And then the next year, I was the guy that was the starter, and all of a sudden it's open competition with three or four guys. So I mean, I've been through them both. Again, I think it was, you know, my strength was the fact that didn't bother me mentally. I just went out and did my. I knew my hands were full, being the best quarterback that I could possibly be. And then the cards would kind of fall where they may after that. It was. I knew that if I focused my attention anywhere other than being the best I could be, I was hurting myself and the team. So. There's a lot of guys that are a lot more talented than I am, so they may have a different perspective.
That's not true. I'm certainly not trying to elicit any kind of response from Tiger Bait when I asked this next question, but it was going into the hiring process, we all thought they better get somebody who does something different, who does something unique, who does something Petrino-esque, where they spread the field and think outside the box and maybe can get by with a little bit lesser than in the world of athletes, because you're going up against the LSUs, you're going up against Auburn, which is going to be improved. We think in our mouths on Ole Miss is certainly making strides. And, of course, Alabama's pretty good. Oh, and then all the teams in the East, too. But anyway,
sure.
Then we get a guy who runs more of a pro-style offense. And everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. So we're all guilty of it. But do you think they can be effective in the competition for athletes? And, again, February becomes as important as anything else. And do what they want to do, seemingly what they want to do or what he's done in the past.
Well, I think it's going to come down to, obviously, can you recruit in the trenches? I mean, I think Arkansas, hands down, can recruit athletes with the best of them, anybody out there. I don't think that your location and necessarily the talent right there is quarterbacks everywhere. There's running backs everywhere. There's receivers everywhere. You can go get those. Those guys are a dime a dozen, truth be told. Really, really, really good offensive linemen that can put their hand in the dirt and move the line of scrimmage are few and far between. So I think it's going to be a while before – I think it's going to be a few years before we can truly say we can put our hand in the dirt and move Alabama and LSU and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, because those guys do have those type of players in their backyard.
Yep.
But I say that to say this. I'm 100% excited about the last 2 months. I mean, the last 3 months, however long he's been here. I love to look at the, you know, follow Richard Davenport on Twitter, and all of his recruiting updates are, you know, Arkansas's recruit. They've offered this offensive lineman, and this guy's got offers from Ohio State and Michigan and Texas and Florida, and you know, those are the guys we're getting mentioned in. Then that's the key to this thing. So for so many years we've watched, and I was one of these guys, so I'm not downplaying anybody. I'm not disrespecting anybody, but we've watched. Well, Arkansas's offered so and so, and he's getting recruited by, you know, Texas State, Tennessee State, and Memphis, and
some division,
you know, Louisiana
school.
Tech, and yeah. You know, and those are great schools. I'm just saying that if you're going to compete, you know, in the trenches with the schools that we got in Texas A&M for you know, now, I mean, it's just they just keep adding them. But if you're going to compete with those guys, you better go compete with them in the recruiting arena as well, and that's not just go get who you think you can get for sure. You better go hunt some of those more highly touted recruits that can truly lean on guys. So we'll see. I don't know if that's possible or not. I know I like where we're at, where we're being mentioned, and the only way to win those battles is to get in them, and we're right in the middle of them, so I like it.
Well, they've got some pretty impressive offensive linemen as far as their builds go, and some guys with some pretty nice resumes who were being recruited by other top schools. So that is certainly a step in the right direction. I think especially on the somewhat short notice that the recruiting class that he brought in this first time around was pretty impressive. So
no, I thought it was, and I think the junior college guys helped tremendously, man. That linebacker that's from North Little Rock, he's going to help us. I mean, he's going to help us a lot. The I believe there's a corner that's really long and confident. You know, that's big right there. Long arms and being confident, and obviously you got to be an athlete, but he wouldn't have done so well at junior college if he wasn't. I think he'll help us. And then we got a little safety that's coming from South Carolina that was junior college. That kid's for real.
I saw on Twitter a while back there was a kid that was in the mix for a young Brandon Burlesworth for a Burlesworth movie that's being put together.
Yeah.
Do you have any say-so in who's going to play Clint Sterner?
I don't. I did not have any say-so in the description of the part that of Clint Sterner. I didn't have any.
What was the bio?
Well, it was something along the lines of, you know, initially arrogant and something else, and I basically at the end of it he turns into a good guy and a good quarterback or whatever. And a lot of things I am, but arrogant I've never been. Mm-hmm. Contrary to popular belief, maybe a little cocky from time to time, but arrogant is not one of them. So I didn't appreciate that. But it's, you know, who's complaining? It's actually, there's a part in a movie that's,
it's awesome.
You never know, man.
I don't care what they do to me. I'd love to be in a movie.
Yeah, well,
that'd be awesome. Okay, so the one thing all three of us have in common, if you're just tuning in again, Christina LeCure here with Clint Sterner. We've been talking spring football. We were all in Hot Springs this weekend for the Arkansas Derby, which is, again, and I'm embarrassed to say this, as closely as I've been associated with Oklahoma the last couple of years, I have not had a chance to go down for the Derby. It is a cultural experience that I hope not to miss again the rest of my life. It is, and I was thinking about this weekend, there are good crowds and bad crowds in this world. Razorback football games, good crowd. It's good to be around. Even though there's a little shoulder to shoulder, and sometimes you got to kind of wedge your way in when you're going to the men's room, it's still a good crowd to be in. The Arkansas Derby and a big day at Oaklawn, 66,000-plus, great crowd. Because there's plenty of room to get food, there's plenty of room to get drinks, there's plenty of room to make bets, and there's plenty of room to go to the bathroom. That's all I really care about. And there's plenty of seating, and there's plenty of standing room only. And on a perfect day like that, awesome. Bad crowd would be like holiday shopping at the mall. Bad crowd. Bad parking. Bad waiting in lines. Bad crowd. Anyway, back to Saturday. That was pretty awesome.
Great. I mean, I loved it.
I didn't even see you.
Well, there were 66,000 people there.
We talked. You gave me a tip.
Oh my gosh, we did. That's right. I didn't even see you. I feel like I saw so many people.
I was just going to say, you see so many people, you do forget it. My wife goes, who did you see? And I go, who didn't I see?
Oh my gosh, I did see you when I was standing in line, and it finished like dead last.
It finished dead last.
Oh, I know. It finished like dead last.
I'd like to, I wish I could forget that I saw you as well.
That was right after you when I was winning.
I didn't ask for any tips.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. But yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I did. I was like, oh yeah, that eight horse. I remember now. I apologize.
I want to thank Jeff Taylor. Jeff Taylor gave me, what was the name of the horse I told you earlier? Nope.
Carve.
Not Carve. It was before that. He did have Carve too, though. It was Get Happy Mister. Get Happy Mister won a race. I had lost the first seven races, first six or seven, whatever it was, before that race. And he had Get Happy Mister, and I just came back and pounded Get Happy Mister, just hoping for the best, and got me back into the black, which mm-hmm. was beautiful. How'd you do?
I did well, actually.
After he didn't listen to me, he did fantastic.
Yeah, no, I did well. I won more. I stayed pretty steady until about the seventh race, one of those deals where, I mean, I was betting pretty heavy for me, and I, at one point I was only down like $13, so
oh, that's really
I was
good.
And then all of a sudden, I was standing there with a guy, a buddy of mine, actually Ben Fury, and one of his buddies, and his wife had never, he had never bet, and his wife had never bet, and so he said, Clint, will you explain this? So I just explained to her how I bet, which I said, look, now.
You explain this to Ben's wife?
No, not Ben's wife, his buddy's
wife. Oh, his buddy's wife, okay.
So I said, look, I'm not real sure. I'm going to tell you, I lose more than I win, so don't. Sure enough, the first one we do, it hits, boom, we win $80. I mean, it's a $12 bet, we won $80. So I said, all right, now's a good time to stop. You know, now's
yeah,
a good time.
Exactly.
Four races later, she goes like, "We're 0 for the last three." I said, "I realize that, and you're still up $40. You might want to stop."
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I did all right. I think I probably ended up winning $50 or $60. And
that's
I
was, a good day.
Who'd you have in the Derby?
Man, I don't even know.
War Academy is probably who you had. Everyone else had it too, except for
the
he
nine
pulled
or the
up.
Eight?
I did not pick War Academy.
You didn't?
War Academy was the two horse, and it was overanalyzed on the one. Yeah, that was a good news, bad news thing. The bad news was he did not win, and he was not competitive. The good news was Mike Smith pulled him up after a few missteps, apparently.
Yeah.
But there was no serious injury, it sounds like, so that's good news.
I get so in tune to studying the deal, like the program they've got. I don't even know.
You forget
I know
the names.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't even realize which one was more important and which one, you know, which one was a Derby, which one wasn't. I mean, I know
yeah,
the 10th race
that.
Was.
Well, there were a lot of big races. I mean, there were a lot of big races and a lot of familiar names.
$500,000 race.
Well, when you get the Oakland Handicap in there, yeah. I mean, it's there were a lot of great races on Saturday. In addition to, I mean, there were some great races anyway. But then you get the big stakes races. It's hard to get to remember who's in what. But the one horse I did not have on the board at all was Frack Daddy, and that was the horse that ran second. And honestly, I had Carve, and luckily the odds were so long that even though I bet him across the board, I came out ahead even though he only showed. And that was a horse I really liked, and he was lucky to get third. He had to fight hard to get into third.
Right. No, I'll tell you who we bet, Frack Daddy, and the nine horse was Texas something.
Texas Bling.
That's
a horse
that we bet.
Horse was a little bit of an underachiever this year. It was a horse a lot of people looked at, and he had some good moments, but yeah.
Had I known he was an underachiever, I would not have been betting.
I thought it was, because a lot of people liked him, and he has a good pedigree. Or whatever it is by horse standards, and just did not quite get to maybe the level that a lot of people thought he was going to achieve this year.
There's a horse that we were sitting in our box, and the box next to us, there's a family that wasn't there before, and we ended up getting chatting with them, and because they had passes on, their horse was running in the Derby, and they actually are an Arkansas family, Willis Horton Homes,
yep.
Their Arkansas family. Their horse has already won a race, had enough points to get into the Derby. Their Take Charge, it's an Arkansas.
We'll Take Charge.
Yeah, We'll yep. Take Charge. It's obviously an Arkansas horse. They had Lori's Rocket in this race, however. Okay. I think she finished about fourth. But a great family, Arkansas family, so something to kind of look forward to for the Derby. I know I'll be cheering for them. They were awesome people.
Those are the kind of stories you get when you get a box. I assure you. I was not sitting in my box, nor did I get invited to Christina's.
I was in a club seat.
That may be why she
just
didn't remember
over.
Even seeing me.
I was sitting in a club seat next to my buddy Craig, and there was nobody else that I knew around us, and Craig was giving me tips, and he actually did pretty well. But
well, this horse only finished fourth.
They're
so.
A great story. Harry King actually did a write-up on
yeah,
this gentleman.
Very cool.
The guy lives in Marshall, and I don't know what year it was, but he made it like every single day except for one day he had a funeral. It was a couple years ago. They had 56 days of racing. He made 55. And it's like a 2.5 hour. And he would go down and back every time. Every single day they raced. That's dedication.
That's dedication. Or
I could sell him a place in Hot Springs.
Or insanity. It's a thin line, my friends. It's a thin line. But yeah, it was good. I was talking earlier, Ben Fury, who was the sponsor of this studio. You got to speak to him and a few other folks in the construction business this weekend for a breakfast.
Sure.
I was there for the event that evening. So I lived on Diet Cokes at Oaklawn, which was a unique experience. That was kind of cool.
That's why you got to do the morning. You got to do the morning event, man.
Good thinking.
Morning event.
Lots of Diet Cokes and corned beef. It was good, and I appreciate them. Let me come down. It was fun. There's an attorney that is on the board that is the attorney, one of the attorneys for the station, or at least his firm is. So, but yeah, Ben Fury Electric won an award for the work they did on the new Kroger store out on Highway 10 near my house. So thanks
cool.
a lot, Ben. Appreciate you.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So.
Very cool.
There you go. If anybody deserves it, it's him. He works sun up, sun down.
I don't know.
I hardly know him, but apparently I bought his wife's car.
There you go.
I don't know how hard he works, but he does
have...
I have
no idea. I don't know who he is.
He has the strongest handshake in the universe.
Is he really?
Oh, yes. He's put me in the hospital twice. Just shaking my hand.
Yeah, he definitely shakes your hand from the waist up. There's not a whole lot of wrist action in there. You know, it is... It's a pretty.
What did you
drill.
Talk about at your breakfast? I felt bad because I'm thinking, man, I even said I was like, you get sterner for breakfast, and you have to settle for me tonight.
I just went through. They wanted me to talk about. It's really easy when I love doing speaking engagements and stuff like that. When they say, hey, here's what we want you to talk about, you got it, no problem.
That's easy.
And if it's football related, then it's really simple. So there's not a whole lot of prep. But I just went over some of the high points of my career, and you know, from high school all the way up through playing in arena football, and you know, there's a lot of things that people at 10 o'clock in the morning after the first night of a convention. probably want to hear about, and I'm pretty sure that one of them is not hard work and dedication and, you know, respecting others and all that. So I just kind of went through my career and I did highlight on, you know, basically surrounding myself with good people and I'm, you know, kind of one of the whole product of who you expose yourself to kind of deal growing up. And because, I mean, you know, Frank Broyles played a big part in me getting to the NFL, and my high school coach played a big part in me getting to college, which I never, you know, being 6'1" is stretching it, and can't run out of my shadow. I was kind of a long shot all the way through, and I had, you know, good people and a lot of help along the way. Really, is kind of how I highlighted the whole thing. Nothing real interesting. You didn't miss nothing.
You didn't write a book. You need to write a book.
I could. I feel
you
like
need
I
to.
Could.
You honestly should, like, because there are probably, and I want to ask you about this too. And this is more applicable to anybody listening, is because most of us are not going to play football. But the tenets of an athlete who is trying to achieve. To a businessman now who is trying to achieve, and there's got to be a lot of similarities.
Definitely. Oh, sure. A ton of similarities. I mean, it's you know, I think the key at the end of the day, for me, I know it was, is really, you know, hanging your ego at the door, man. I mean, had I been above coaching when I was in high school, or above, you know, had Frank Broyles not seen the need to reach out to me on a golf course 2 days after the draft, which I'd never seen him reach out to anybody for anything whatsoever, player-wise anyway. You know, had I not put myself in a position for those guys to help me, I feel like I would have missed an opportunity. So, for what that's worth, I think that's key. And obviously, in business, it's the same way. I mean, you know, I lean on a lot of people, got a lot of great people that work for me and with me, and there's no ego involved. I need them as bad as they need me, and they need the opportunity. So, it definitely goes hand in hand.
See,
no
that's
question.
The opposite of arrogance, right there.